Okay, if you are, most of you are familiar with these two ladies, and if you don't, this is Laura, and this is Brittany, and you guys have been over there now for a year, right?
Almost, if you add all the times together.
I see, mathematically, you've been there a year.
So it's getting pretty close, though, isn't
it? Yeah, November. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we have, some time ago, made a real move in our ministry direction over there. We've been up on the mountain for a number of years running a school, and we felt after some time that the infrastructure that we had built is actually becoming prohibitive. It was becoming more about buildings and infrastructure than it was about ministry. So we made hard decisions. We moved off the mountain into the city. We still go up to the mountains. We're still holding our youth camp up there every year. But this has given us more opportunities, and we've went with our strengths. And so we made available the opportunity for these two young ladies to go over there, and they did. Crazy, isn't it? Gave up the American dream to go to a developing country and to minister every day. They're in the full-time ministry, and they get paid nothing, just so we're on the record. We cover their expenses. That's it. And so they're not over there because they're making a lot of money. They're there to serve the Lord. So they just wanted to take this opportunity as their home to speak to us a little bit about what they're doing. So this is really their show. I don't know what they're going to do and show here. I'm here just to, you know, mediate. And then you guys, a couple weeks, you'll be up at the Duluth Church, because the Duluth Church is also very much prayerful, spiritual, and financial supportive of the work over there, too. So they'll be over there on a Wednesday. So we wanted to give them the opportunity. So first of all, it's good to have you guys home, and I'll be looking at you on a Wednesday night back in the camera back there, if your silhouettes, little statues that you have there. They're not even real there. They're not there. So they're in somewhere North Dakota or something. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to turn it over to you guys. It's your show, okay? I'm going to give this up. She can have this one.
Here, I'll take that one.
Okay, that one's closer.
Okay.
Very. I have a big mouth, so I don't need one. Go ahead.
Okay.
Are you good there, or do you want me to switch you places?
I'm okay here.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, hello, everyone. It's good to be back. We've missed you guys. Even though it was a shorter trip this time, like 3 or 4 months, we're basically going to pick up tonight where the team left off. I think they did a good job of recapping what happened the month that they were there. So tonight we'll just be talking about what's been happening from June until August since we left last week, which is weird to think about. We were sitting in the Cebu Airport this time a week ago. But it's good to be back in with you guys. And basically, the past couple months have been a lot of transitioning and changes and refocusing. I think Laura and I both agree that from November until April, it was a lot of where are we and trying to get our two feet on the ground and learning the language and meeting a lot of people. And we still are doing that. Like, there's still more people that we meet all the time, and we're always learning new things about the language. But it feels like the past couple months have been a lot more of really focusing on where God is leading us, and instead of trying to have our hands in a lot of different things, we've kind of narrowed down a little bit and had to make some decisions. So with that, our first big change was moving, and Laura will take it over from here.
Yeah, we moved while the team was here from Sun Valley to Happy Valley.
Did that sound third worldish? You know, Sun Valley to Happy Valley.
That is the front of our house in Cebu. We don't use the garage space, obviously. It's kind of a storage, but it is nice to have that space for miscellaneous projects, too. That's just... What did I do?
You're going to go back?
Forward.
Forward. Oh, she went too far back.
That's your little neighborhood. There's your house.
Next one.
There's North Dakota.
Right. That's our living room, kitchen, and that's where we Skype from a lot of times, where if we're having meetings or if we have the Watts Writers, we're on the street Writers over, that's the area that we're in a lot of times. We have this big screen TV to be able to hook up a computer to be able to pull up the magazine or anything else we want to pull up during the day, and just the seating area, too, to be able to get together with people and have a meal or even just work on projects together. It's a nice seating area for that.
If I can interject, a lot of you are wondering,
maybe wondering why we moved. When we first moved there, we didn't know what God was going to do. We didn't have any ideas, plans. So we rented a place that was a combo commercial and residential. More on the commercial side. So big open space, one bedroom. They shared bedroom, one bathroom, and shared the bathroom. And the kitchen was just like a corner of that. We've come to understand the Filipino people a little bit more in the city, that we're going to need to go to them for these kind of meetings. It wasn't being used as we thought. And so the longer we were there, realizing that these ladies, the longer they were there, they needed a more permanence. And so what you're seeing there is it's kind of like a condo, I guess. Has more bathrooms, which is nice. And smaller square footage, but enough bedrooms. So they have their own bedroom now. Any team that we take over there could never fit into the living room, so it's not like we're going to be meeting in a corporate place. But it's also guarded. The Philippines, you best not ever need a police officer, because you're not going to get one. They tend to be corrupt, and they're not going to help you. Everyone has security guards. So this is a gated, which may sound, ooh, ritzy. No, it sounds like stay alive. It's important that it is. And so it is a security guard. What is our security guard's name?
Doris.
Doris.
And the night guard is Max.
Now, let me tell you something. Doris is a woman to be... I just got to tell you, you don't want to mess with Doris. Mm-hmm. I think she could hurt you pretty bad. Yeah, so anyway. So I just wanted to explain that's why we moved. More permanent digs, more of a permanent situation for the women to live in. It was difficult before. They were living like a couple of teenagers sharing a bedroom. So, okay. Go ahead there. That's it for that?
Yeah. I think there's one more.
One more?
Yeah, just the other side of the house.
Just the other side of the more living room side, but yeah, essentially.
Big money on decor, isn't it? I mean, you guys spend a lot of money on decor. The picture's on the wall. So, okay.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. Okay, so transitioning now to our Tuesday Bible study. That is something that we've been maintaining ever since we moved to the Philippines last November. We've been meeting in a coffee shop every Tuesday with a small group of usually just young women. We don't have many guys that show up. But it's mostly young professionals, so people that graduated a couple years ago or are currently working like in a call center or customer service or at hotels or something. We were trying to get more students to come. So in July, I think, the first Tuesday in July, we made the hard decision to move locations. The place we were meeting at, Kana Coffee, was just way too far for anyone to get to, especially students. And traffic is terrible in Cebu, especially around 6 o'clock when you're trying to get anywhere. So we ended up moving the Bible study to Bose Capital, which a lot of you have probably been to. But it's just really a lot closer to universities, close to the Fuente Circle, so kind of the heart of the city. And that first Tuesday, we got one new girl, well, two new people that came, but one girl that actually has stuck around and has been coming every week because she lives within walking distance of there. So it was a good change. And that's a couple of us. Like I said, mostly young women. In the black shirt is Orchids. She's one of our Word on the Street writers. She's been coming ever since last November, so she's one of our most consistent attendees. And then Erica is the one who is to the left of me. She's the one that lives really close by. And then G is the one closest on this side, who we met at some discipleship training at one of the churches in the city. So some weeks there's a lot of people, some weeks there's not many people, but it's still nice to get together every week. And we were going through the book Multiply by Francis Chan, because it has been young people that are more churched and are kind of growing as leaders within their churches or wanting to hold Bible studies on their own. So it was really good material to go through, and we just finished up a section in it last week on how to study the Bible. So it was really good and available for free online, so no one had to go out and buy the book, so that was helpful for them. And one night, I think this is the night, one of our friends moved to Dubai to try to get a different job, and she messaged us and said she was really missing the Bible study, so we Skyped her in one night, which was pretty cool. Couple more pictures of people. The girl in the blue, she was one of the girls who came the first night we made the move to Bose. She's a university student at, I think, the University of Cebu. So since it was a lot closer for her, she was able to come that night.
You guys have to understand that transportation's a huge issue there. I think they touched upon it, but I would just like to comment that blocks can make all the difference. I a few years ago picked up Abigail, for those of you that know her, at her work by the mall, and she got on my back of the motorcycle with me. I drove like four blocks, and she says, it whispers in my ear, or yells in my ear on the motorcycle, says, I haven't any idea where I am. Me, from Wisconsin, I know where I am. She lives there. She don't know. Because you get them away from that little world, that little hub of where they are. They're out of their element. So blocks can be a huge difference. So we have to strategize to come to them because of transportation being so horrific. You can't imagine. You think, oh, yeah, city's terrible. No. If you've never been in a third world country during rush hour, you haven't foggiest. They don't follow rules. By the way, how do you get around in the cities?
Bike or walk.
Yeah.
Yep.
We went there. The first thing we did was we bought them mountain bikes. So they have good mountain bikes. So on their scale, it's pretty good. Yeah, pretty good wheels. But here, maybe not so much. I mean, you understand it's 100 degrees and you're mountain biking through... you know, the apocalypse. It's like Road Warrior. And it's really, really hard for them. If they're going very, very far, they take taxis. They walk. But if they tried to drive, probably they risk their lives. And both of our vehicles are stick, and neither of you drive a stick. So, and it's best for them not to drive there. So they're moving around on bicycles. So just so that you know that.
Yeah, so transportation or traffic usually determines a lot of decisions that we make in a day of trying to, like, bucket things together. If we're at this place, okay, this is close, so we're going to hit those two places at one time and try to meet with people within proximity, because it's just getting worse and worse. Like, every month, it's you talk to taxi drivers, and they'll even confirm that it's getting worse. So I don't know what it is, more people buying cars or something. I don't know.
Philippines has the fastest growing economy in Asia, which still that's relative. But because they are, more people are buying cars. And they're buying like Ford SUVs, which is amazing. So the country is a country of haves and have-nots. The poverty is still there. The squalor is still there. And then there's the people who have the money. Education leads to money. No education, you know, wala cuarta, no money. So.
Yeah, next, we've had the opportunity to, for some of you that have been there before, go back to Southern Bethany at this point. And for those that don't know, that's a floppy disk.
Thank you. For all the millennials in the crowd, right?
Right. I was actually putting it together, and I messaged Orchids the one day a picture of that, and she said, Google says floppy disk, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, she had to Google it.
That means I'm either old or something, but yeah, she had to Google it to figure it out. And but yeah, we are starting some creation science curriculum for elementary, junior high, and senior high students. They're asking for senior high mostly because they are now going grades 11 and 12 now. Some of the kids are now going to school longer. They used to start college right away, but they're going to school longer in high school settings. And so they asked, is there anything? No, but we'll make something. Everything that I've done, there we go, so far has been created. It's not just like a standard science book. It's been several videos or pulled from different resources to use, and most of it's just kind of, if this works, we'll continue to use it, but depending on each school, it'll tweak or bend as needed. Some teachers speak only Cebuano in their classrooms now. Some speak English and
Sub-English.
Yeah, but they're more and more going back to speaking the native language. So depending on what school it is, may depict how much is needed to teach versus translation too. So, and the big thing there is, in talking to some people at Southern Bethany and elsewhere too, is a lot of the kids are getting resources or information off Google or Facebook, various social media, and so her comment was, how do we, do you have something to combat that? And yes, Ask Jeeves was my time era. Somebody asked, that was another one I ran by a couple of people, and Google brought it up for them, but yeah. So I kind of played around with that, but yeah, it's a mixture of, the lessons will be a mixture of some PowerPoints and videos and experiments, which is honestly, my background is education, but my background is overhead projector and slides and VHS. So it's a challenge for me too to put it together as it goes and learn the new technology and be able to use it too. So it'll be neat to see how it comes together, and interesting to go from school to school and just not only see the culture, but the different learning styles that each teacher has. Southern Bethany, when we talked, she's also the guidance counselor, is also their science teacher, and because of the whole going K-12, she's going back to school and was wanting to do a project on this for school, and so she's been kind of looking stuff up and kind of dabbling in it, but never had any sort of anybody that actually just wanted to come and do it for her and teach it. So
nobody's ever done anything like this.
No.
There.
And yeah, those are the two schools so far. One is Bethel Christian Living Heritage School, and they're out towards Naga. So that'll, both trips in itself are going to be a hike out of the city, traffic-wise.
You're not going to bike down there?
No.
Come on.
Not.
It's only 15 miles or something.
I could probably get there faster. But, yeah.
We've been friends with the Southern Bethany, those people, for years. And we just stopped there one day. I just saw that it was a Christian school. We stopped. I asked a security guard. They let me in. I met the principal, and
And, you know, the principal and I have been emailing each other for years now, and she's a sweet woman and loves us to come and has opened the doors. And I think some of you would remember being there, and I don't know, we had 400 or 500 kids in an auditorium there and ministering to them. So we have a history with them.
Yeah. The kids remember past teams that have been there and past people, too. And it does, every time you go somewhere, it's always a reminder, too, of that you're going to be there again or somebody else eventually will.
All right, so next up is Watts and Street Level, which is hugely campus-focused. Trying to think back. Okay, so last time when we were here, Street Level was going to start at Cebu Doctors University. And so Laura and I, after the team left in June, went back to CDU just to follow up and make sure we had all the paperwork that we needed to have or everything ready to go. And then we had to go through this weird process of submitting a letter to one of the, was it like a vice president of academic affairs, and then wait a couple days to find out what he said. And long story short, we are not allowed on campus there. Basically, they told us that, well, the vice president told me, well, we already have a campus ministry. And I was like, thinking back to the meeting I had, what was that, April, when I was told, we don't have a campus ministry. What do you want to do? So it was just kind of weird. And then we were told that we're not allowed to recruit students on campus because what if there was a group of Muslims that came in and wanted to start a campus ministry? We would have to let them because we're letting you. So it was a major disappointment, but yet we knew that God still had other plans for Street Level and just had to refocus and shift direction. But as of now, we're not doing anything related to CDU as far as Street Level goes. So, with
you want to tell them the reality of why you didn't get in there?
Because of Catholicism?
Yes.
Yeah. Because their campus ministry is really Catholic Mass. And it's led by, what's his name?
Sir Joe Carr.
Yeah, like Sir Joe Carr. So it's really because we're Christians and we're not Catholic and we don't want to teach Catholic beliefs.
And we've run into this before. We do not bash Catholicism. We don't go after it at all. We try to deal with what is common between us. But you have to understand the Catholics, it's a Catholic country, and the Catholics are nervous about us because when Catholics hear the Bible taught, they tend to abandon Catholicism and become evangelical Christians, and they don't want to let you evangelical Christians near the Catholic kids because you might convert them. The same reason as you don't get to go to many Middle Eastern countries and preach Jesus either, because the Muslims become Christians. So the better thing to do is just to keep you shut up. That's the important thing. So, and again, we don't go against it, but I want you as a church to know why that happened. So.
So, we instead, after talking with Tim and hearing what the board and the pastors were advising we do next, we focused on making a multi-campus ministry. Obviously, still in the future, we'd love to be on campus and maybe have a Street Level ministries at University of Cebu or University of the Philippines. But right now, it's just impossible to get inside of campuses. So we're trying to meet students off of campuses and meet and have Bible studies off campus. So we planned a big recruitment meeting at the end of July just to get the word out there of who Street Level is and try to meet some students. And we published a special edition of Word on the Street magazine. We were already in production for issue 71, and so it was already in the works. We just kind of changed it around a little bit and made the cover the advertisement for the recruitment gathering. And we printed an extra 200 issues, so instead of 500, we printed 700 copies and distributed them all by hand Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the week of the recruitment gathering. So one of the days, one of our writers, Dyrene, she came with us, which was super awesome. It was nice to have her along. She could really connect a lot with the students. And this is outside of the University of the Visayas. And I think, yeah, Dyrene is in that picture. She's wearing her Word on the Street magazine. She's got, like, the orange bag and then her Watts shirt on her. But it was an exhausting, crazy week. I think Laura and I fit, 150 copies in each of our backpacks on Tuesday and went to, like, four different universities. We started out with a couple of the ones that we had been to before and distributed at, and we're like, we knew kind of the zones where we could hand them out. But then the day that Dyrene went with us, we went down more into the heart of the city, downtown, where there's a lot more people, and a little bit scarier for white people to be there. So it was good to have her with. And we hit some schools that we hadn't gone to before. But we saw so many students at this school, University of the Visayas, and then was the other one UC? Yeah, University of Cebu. We distributed a lot of magazines at each of those. I think like 100 or 125 copies at each. And then we finished it off the last day on Thursday at Cebu Technological University. Let's see. Yeah, so there's like a stack. That's only 250 of them out of the 700 that we did. It was really cool, though. It was neat to meet a lot of students and just get the word out there. And we haven't heard a lot back from people that have taken the magazine, but I feel like that's kind of a trend with Watts, is you never really know how it's going to affect people. Maybe you'll find out like 5 years down the road. But it's neat to know that there's like 700 copies out there right now. And out of that, three students from the University of the Visayas ended up coming to our meeting on Thursday.
Catholic?
Yes, Catholic students, Catholic-raised, Catholic families. So it was, at first I was kind of like, we had no idea what to expect. Like, I told the guy at Bose, I gave him a magazine, and I was like, if anyone comes with a magazine, can you please just direct them to the back conference room? And he was like, okay, how many people are you expecting? And I was like, 700. And he looked at me, and he was like... I've learned I can't joke with him because we go there every Tuesday, and every Tuesday I try to joke around with him, and he takes me way too seriously. But, yeah, so three students ended up coming, which was really awesome. They're all third-year architecture students at UV, and they ended up showing up like an hour late because they didn't know where Bose was. They didn't really know how to get there. They ended up taking a jeepney from their school, which is downtown, to the Circle, which many of you know where that is. And then it started going around the Circle, so they realized they had to get off because they were actually following it on Google Maps, which is impressive. Not many Filipinos do that. And ended up walking the rest of the way to Bose. So it's cool to see their determination in coming. One of the girls even told me she set her magazine in front of her and while she was doing her homework to motivate her to finish her homework that day so that she could come to the meeting. So I don't know. It's like, okay, God, I mean, you've given us these three girls to minister to, and we're going to give it our all and keep investing in them and see what you do. That's the group of us. We put some posters on the outside of the conference room, and then we also invited a few of our regular attendees from our Tuesday night Bible study to come with on Thursday, just to help as some leadership and just to help like make any students that would come feel more comfortable and get to know them. So that was the group that we had. And since then, we've been meeting with them on Thursday nights at a McDonald's that's close to their campus. We've just been going through the Gospel of John verse by verse with them, which has been really neat to see them walk through that and their eyes light up and answer questions or not really know answers to questions. And so we find out together. And it's been neat getting to know them and a little bit of their background. Like Casey, she has been having a really hard time with her parents, actually. They're Catholic and don't want her to be a part of this. And yet she's determined, and all three of them are determined to do really well in their studies so they can prove to their parents that this is a good thing that they're a part of. Athena, in the middle, she grew up Catholic but went to a born-again Christian high school. Actually, Fervent Academy, Fervent Generations School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, really? Why did you do that? And she said, well, my mom sent me there because it was close to where we live. So, yeah.
Rest my case. Good thing the Buddhists weren't close by, you know?
Yeah. And then Manel is the one closest to Laura. And they're, so I told you they're third year architecture students. You think they're what, like 20, 21 years old? They're only 18 and 19 years old because the school system is so different in the Philippines. So they're still pretty young. And we're still getting to know them and getting to know their interests and what they do outside of homework. And they're just like a lot of college students here. They watch Netflix and stuff and talk about movies. Yeah, so it's been neat getting to know them. That's the last week we met with them at McDonald's. We had those little New Testament Bibles because none of them had a Bible. I think Casey said, I asked all of them, do you guys have Bibles? And Casey said, my family has one. It's back at home, but it's a Catholic Bible. So super important for them to have the real Bible.
These are city girls? They're not province girls?
Athena's from the city, Mandawi City. Casey's from Oslab. And then, so province.
Iceland?
Is it where the whale sharks are?
I have no idea. I don't know where that is.
And then Manel is from a different island, Leyte, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but UV is a lot. It reminds me a lot of Stout, actually. There's a lot of, like, technical degrees there. They're really into, they've got a really good basketball team. And so they're really, like, the sports and technical degrees. What's the, like, the fish, not fishing, but the sailing guys. There's a lot of guys that go with it to school to become, like, seafarers or sailors.
Oh.
Those guys.
Not sailing for sport, sailing for a living.
Yes, yes.
Merchant sailors.
Sure.
Merchant marines.
Okay.
Yeah, like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's right in the heart of downtown, so it's not like a ritzy school by any means. I didn't want to go there yet. Don't look. Tim and I have been talking a lot about this. Well, is McDonald's really the place to be meeting? And he has thoughts about that.
Like brother and sisters fighting from around the world.
But we've been meeting at McDonald's just because it's been close for them, and it's only been the three of them. And
they identify well with that.
They do, yeah.
It's affordable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's cheap food and close for them to get to. But just thinking long term, it's not going to be a place that we can meet as a big group of street level ministries. So the past couple of weeks, we've just been racking our brains of where do we meet, what do we do, how do we keep going with this, and think in terms of big group. So once we get back in September and then full on starting in November, we're going to be holding a dinner and Bible study on Thursday nights like Street Level does here on Monday nights. Free dinner for students with a university ID. Just thinking in terms of how can we attract students to us. Like, most students are busy. They might not necessarily go specifically for a Bible study, but free food will get their attention. So just to welcome them in that way, and then go through a Bible study together. So we've been thinking of all, like, the strategic, like restaurants that we could eat at. So there's one up here and then there's one up here, but that's too far and most students don't know where it is. So, or like we could put the jeepney route on the poster, or that gets convoluted. So we're planning on having a Bible study at Abu Han. It's a restaurant that's really close to the Robinson's Front Day Circle. But even that, I was questioning, like, are students going to know where that is? It's not on the main drag.
Would they be intimidated by even though they're not going to be paying? Mm-hmm. Would they still be intimidated?
Yeah. But we still inquired anyway. They have a couple conference rooms that you can rent, and then it's consumable. So the price of it, you can just buy in food and drinks, which would be perfect for the free dinner anyway. And so we looked at their conference rooms, and we were like, okay, yeah, this would be a good enough spot. We could make it work. And so... when was it? Wednesday? Yeah, last Wednesday, the day before we left. there's always something the day before we leave. Last Wednesday, I called and I asked, hey, I'd like to reserve your conference room for a meeting that we're going to have. And the lady on the phone was like, okay, when is it? And I said, Thursday, September 28th. And she said, oh, it's already booked on Thursdays. And I was like, oh, every Thursday? She said, yeah, there's a group that reserves it. And I was like, okay, well, what about your other function room? There's like one that's just a little bit bigger. And she said, oh, that's going to be under construction next month. And I was like, okay, so what about Wednesday nights? And she said, well, you can't really, we don't really want you to book that far in advance. And I'm like, wait, so you want me to call you next month to reserve it? And she's like, yeah, that would be better. So you're talking like a week before we need the meeting room. And I was thinking, how am I going to know that that's available? And then she started telling me, well, we might be switching locations. We might be moving to a different location. And I was like, where are you moving? And she said, oh, I don't know yet. And I'm just like, everything, all the things are not going right. What is going on? So then I said, okay, so you don't want my business? And she's like, yes, ma'am. And I was like, wait, you don't want me to reserve the conference room? Yes, ma'am. I'm like, okay, thank you. So that was just a clear no, like, nope, Brittany, that's not where I want you to be meeting. And so I went downstairs and I was like, Laura, what? Like, we were banking on this. And then we started racking our brains of, okay, what are some other places we could call? We want to kind of have a place reserved before we leave for a month. And there was the building that our printer for Word on the Street is housed in, they're like a pension house. So I was like, well, maybe there's an office or conference room we can rent there. And they have like a rooftop lounge area. So I called there, and the woman on the phone was super short with me, like, no, this is a pension house. No, we don't have anything available. No. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So finally, I called Ellicon House. It's a building near, right across the street from Pastor Fred's church, if any of you have been there.
Metropolitan, those of you have been there, he's up on the second or third floor there. Mm-hmm. Just across the street from University of San Carlos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll pull up this slide now. It's that building, okay. Big green building. And so I called them, and the woman on the phone, I asked her, like, hi, do you have a conference room available? And she was super nice and was like, yeah, we have a brand new one. And I said, really? And asked her more details about it and everything, and asked if there were pictures online. And she said, no, it's too new. And I said, well, can I stop by this afternoon and look at it? And she was like, oh, of course. Yeah, come on over. And it's available the night that we need it. And so it's just like, okay, well, let's go check it out, Laura. So we went down there that afternoon and met the woman I talked to on the phone and told her kind of our plans, and we're hoping that it could be kind of a semi-permanent place where we could meet on a weekly basis. And she said, oh, that would be great. That definitely. Do you want to reserve it for November when you're coming back? And at that point, I wasn't really sure if we should, because we wanted to test it out, that September 28th meeting first, but ended up calling her the next day and booked it, because if you'll notice, within that black circle, there's like I don't know, 12 universities or something. And that green arrow is pointing to where Ellicon House is. So you can't get any closer to campuses. And it's a place where a lot of students know. I asked all three of the girls that we've been meeting with, and they all knew where it was and how to get there and everything. So it's just, it's neat looking at how we can have our plans and what we think is best, but then God is very clear about, nope, I already have this place for you. And yeah, it's going to be available until the end of the year. Like, this is where I want you guys. So that was really nice to be able to leave the country the next day with just knowing that God did that for us, and we're super thankful. And that's where we'll be meeting for street level for the foreseeable future.
Please note that circle there, guys. That crossroads, which is about in the middle of that circle, has been cited by us. We know that that's what we refer to in our discussions as ground zero. Those of you that were back there a few years ago when we did the big mall concert, and Tom was there on that. When was that?
14.
That's at the E Mall. That's one block from that Ground Zero corner. 12 universities within walking distance from Ground Zero. Mm-hmm. So that's campus town right there. That's our world right there. You want to target your prayer life? That's it right there. So.
Yeah. And this is the conference room. It's really cool. It's like right on the edge of the building, so tons of glass, tons of windows, so people can see us meeting together. And the woman told us that they would rearrange the tables so we could have like one big long conference room style table if we wanted to do that. And we could even bring in our projector and speaker and stuff so we can do multimedia and everything in there too. So I'm super excited to see what God's going to do there.
And they will be back only for time to do one meeting, because they have to turn around and go to India with us. These, you may or may not know, both of these young ladies are ministry students. In order to graduate from school ministry here, you have to do a certain amount of missions work, and your last project is India. So they will go west to India while we go east to India. And we will pass through the Netherlands and then down, and you guys will pass through Hong Kong and then over, and we will meet in Delhi within hours of each other, and then we will take off again just hours away from each other when we come home. So they got to leave for another month to go to India with us because it's required as part of their studies.
All right.
Oh, this is scary. Do we want to go here?
Daily life is just a little bit of what it's like, what we do on a daily basis, some of what we do. We plan. We kind of...
Exciting.
Have a loose plan. Nothing is ever the plan for the week. Things always change. Things always end up being different. But we try to kind of plan out the weeks and months.
You're supposed to have Mondays off?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of it, we Skype in for various meetings, or I think this one was...
What is that? Penguin?
India, yeah. Penguin.
That stuffed penguin?
That stuffed penguin.
They're really important meetings.
What are you talking about?
You don't remember the penguin?
No. In India, penguin.
No, at your house.
Meeting, your house.
Oh, my penguin. Okay. Never mind. That's my house you're looking at. Okay, I'm with you. We'll talk about it later.
Most of the time we end up fixing various tech issues. Most of the time it's the internet. It's usually off when we wake up in the morning, and we just end up turning it back on or waiting a while. That's the city bogs.
cockroaches.
It's like Texas. They're yep. big there.
And that's traffic. Usually we're... If you don't leave soon enough to get somewhere at the end of a day, you're stuck in it. And it's easier by that point to just be on... I think one Tuesday night to get to Bose, we were just on foot because Bacalso is under construction.
Oh, yeah.
And if it starts to rain, you're really in trouble. Because mm-hmm. when it rains in the Philippines, it seriously rains.
I don't know if you can't read that. It says, GPS-based traffic app Waze named Cebu as the world's worst urban area to drive in. The driving situation in the entire Philippines degraded as the country is now the second worst country to drive in. So it's a lot of fun. But that's it. That's all we have. If you guys have questions.
Oh. You guys need to study on Tuesday.
Understand that they went over and we didn't really know how God was going to lead at that time. We know we wanted to start a college ministry. But they both have their unique personalities and unique abilities. Laura's got an early childhood development background. This is her forte in that direction. And Britt wanted to pursue that college campus. I mean, she's always been a part of all the street level. And so it seemed like a natural mix for us. So as time goes along, I think they probably will be dealing more and more with their own ministries. And they won't always be together. We want to keep them together somewhat. It's safer, especially if they have to leave someplace at night. We did have him take a little bit of classes from Pastor John in Krav Maga, so he's taught him to hurt people. So, gentlemen, just so you know, if you want to ask him for a date, just be aware. So it is kind of God, I think, taking them in different directions. Anybody else got questions?
Mm-hmm. Laura, are you still volunteering and doing stuff at that children's hospital?
We still kind of have a relationship with them. You're talking about Everlasting Hope?
Yeah.
Andy and the youth did a VBS there, and I imagine we probably will in the future. And she's an American that directs it, and certainly her and my wife hit it off. They both are chemo backgrounds, cancer backgrounds, and so I'm sure we'll continue to have a relationship with them. And I don't mean to be calloused, but we didn't send them over there to work for other ministries. We sent them over there to start their ministries through us. So that's why they're dealing with that. Well, we could. You knocked on the door, they'd have you back.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart. Anybody else? Yeah.
So with regards to street levels, while you two are about in India, because you have the meeting set up with the first one, and then you're going to India, so then it's someone else like set to like do the meetings, like while you two are gone, or is it just going to be on hold while you're in India?
At this point, I think it's just going to be on hold.
The goal would be for them to have people just too early.
Right. So you mentioned the women that you were meeting like in the discipleship program, mm-hmm. so I didn't know if they were going to kind of step mm-hmm.
in the future. Some of the ones that do work at camp, like mm-hmm. diarrhea stuff, but they have, you have to understand, the women that are coming to this, they're starting to be Americanized in the sense that they are becoming young professionals. They desire, I mean, this is architects, mm-hmm. And nurses, and they're becoming professional, semi-professional careers, and they're very, very busy, just like all of you are as college students. So you know what your life is like and how hard it is for you to focus. It is for them also. And if you think it's financially tight for you, a lot of these kids, that's why I asked where they were coming from. They're coming from the province. I mean, you know, daddy may be making $5 or $6 a day, and they're trying to support the family and send a daughter to school. So it's tough. But if she makes it, then she'll make money and send money home. So it's a challenge. But the goal would be to disciple, just like we would here, on various levels to make that happen. I want to know who's going to India to start our street level there. Becky wants to go.
So I was
Any other questions?
Talk about using like materials like Multiply over there. When is there like when we use materials like because of like cultural difference? Do you have to like just gauge what you use, or do you have to kind of shift it, or is it the concepts translate across to their culture the way it does here?
It depends on who we're working with. Like when we chose to do Multiply, the people that were coming to the Bible study were very much churched and already had a background in the church and were quite Americanized, too, or at least Westernized, like working in call centers or having known us like from JFB. So that does. When we are considering, like, okay, what are we going to go through with someone that does play a huge role in that? Like, I wouldn't take that material and go through that with the students that we met at the university because they're Catholic background. So it does make a difference, yeah.
But they do speak good English.
Yes.
That's another issue that's a little easier in the city, yeah. Is they understand English. But now if we went out to the province, out to Spring Park, out to where our building used to be up in the mountains, we would need translators there, and all of our video had subtitles on it because those kids wouldn't be able to speak the English. And where we went last year as a short-term team, we went to the tribal people up near the volcano, and those people spoke no English at all. You might as well have been in Africa. I mean, it was deep. And those people didn't look like Filipinos. They looked African. So they had been there for hundreds of years before anybody else got there. Anybody else? Ryan, talk to me.
I want to ask the real deep question of second worst traffic to who's the first. Because after being
Minneapolis, isn't it? I wouldn't be surprised if it's someplace in India. Yeah. Have a way up.
For Word on the Street, do you guys print your own magazines, or do you have them printed, or do you guys hold them as like a group, or how do you do that with separate magazines?
We have a printer, and they print, staple, fold everything. So
you don't want to fold 700 of them?
We considered it, honestly. When we first got there last year, I was thinking, like, we should make this, like, street-level Menominee, get the group together, do it ourselves. But we just don't have the manpower for it. And he basically does it for free. I asked him about it one time, and he was like, oh, I just do that. And I'm like, okay, well, keep doing that. So... But in the future, like, if at all possible, we could start doing that. I think it's a great bonding thing, and I would love to be able to do that, even if it goes crazy.
It's part of the learning curve that we're still, even after all these years, still learning to understand the psyche of the Filipino culture, especially young, because even the young people don't think like, say, my generation there. I mean, they are more westernized, and they want to be like Americans, and they want to, you know, wear American clothes. But on the other hand, they still got their own things that they refuse to budge on. Paper still works great there. They don't have the internet connections that we have, the data connections, so paper is good. It's still a paper world, so publishing a zine there is awesome. I mean, it's a really, really works very well. And I'm not kidding about India. If I could get it done in India, I had a university campus, I'd do it. So maybe we'll just lose their tickets when we take them away. Let me tell you a little bit about what is coming up in the future. The goal is definitely for Laura to continue to pursue this. She will be getting into Christian private schools now, but I would expect very soon public school systems will begin to embrace this. Depends on how good she gets at it, and she will have that challenge. I expect this campus ministry to grow. We would like to have subgroups. The idea is to disciple an inner circle, like we would do a ministerial community from different campuses, They would have campus meetings once a week. Yeah, she could visit different campus meetings, and then once a week the entire group would come together in a full group. We would do retreats together. We would do discipleship training. When teams go over, especially my leadership people here, we would go over and do leadership retreats for the leaders of the campus organization. And maybe have them start Skyping into different classes and stuff we have here. We have an aggressive program going on right now. I haven't spoke a lot about it because it really was an experiment, I guess you could say. It looks like it's going to happen. But where you saw was ground zero. The question is how to get the attention of the Filipino students. So I set out our texts, especially Josh and Eric and Pastor Jason Gilbert to on a project, and the project looks like this. We have tested this equipment. If you were to look out at the banner on the corner of the building out here, that's the Jesus Life of Christ, there is a white rod attached to that. That is an antenna. It is not to pick up, it is to broadcast. And the idea is this. We have developed the software, and we're working out all the bugs and all of the code and all of this so that somebody can walk down the street with a smartphone, an Android, and they will see an open Wi-Fi, which is unheard of in the Philippines. They're all locked. We're talking about an open Wi-Fi network. So they click on that Wi-Fi network, which will say Shofar Radio or something like that. If they typed in anything, Yahoo, Google, you know, Walmart, whatever, .com, it's not going to go there. It's going to go to our splash page. On that splash page, they can click on a radio on that splash page and listen to our radio station, which may be our station here, especially for some time. And it will eventually be our own programmed radio station there. Internet radio there costs you nothing. They won't be able to go anywhere, but on their Android phone, they are able then to listen to our radio station on our data dime because they're listening on Wi-Fi, not data. But it's we're the ones paying for the data. And so they can sit there, and as long as they're within range, they're able then to listen to our radio station for free. Now, the goal is that we're experimenting as far as distance right now. That one there on the corner of the building will go down to the Lutheran Church and around the corner to what our testing has been. So a couple blocks in the direction. And so the idea is to set up several of these hubs down around Ground Zero. And I may have to go over between now and spring to help set this up. Then we can go to those universities and say, Mr. President, I got a deal for you. Here's what we're doing, and we pitch this to them. And we say, I tell you what we're going to do. If you'll let us attach this antenna to your building, and maybe we might even get free electricity out of them, which would be swell, okay? We will broadcast our stuff, but we will broadcast your stuff for free. All the events you got coming up, announcements to your students. Maybe if you got a basketball game, maybe we'll just even announce, we'll even call the basketball game. We'll even announce the basketball game live over the internet. We'll do all this stuff for you for free. All we want is space on your building and some electricity. All the data and everything's on us. That will also, if they say yes, now they're going to know who we are. Now we have access to the campus. Now we get our feet in campus physically. And we set up these hubs, and we have to go and find where are the students at? Where is, you know, the center? Where do they eat? Where do they congregate? And we start broadcasting, and we're in. They can't go anywhere. It's not like, you know how you can block out a web page? We're blocking out the entire network, the whole internet, except one, ours. And as far as we know, nobody's ever done this before. And if Eric looks a little stressed and Josh looks a little stressed, that's why.
They're pulling their hair out. So Eric had hair on top of his head when he started this project. But they have, God, praise the Lord, have made this work. And so we want to be able to set up maybe three of these right off the bat. And we're going to just put them all around ground zero. And we're going to do what's never been done, not here, not there, not anywhere. So pray for that project, okay, that we can do that. We can announce the Bible studies, and it'll be Street Levels radio station over the internet. They don't listen to the radio. They have smartphones. They're just like us. Their smartphones are everything. So that's our big projects, what we're doing there. We got teams getting ready to go to the Philippines already now. We've been interviewing and getting people ready. We intend to meet with all of those who have applied. We're meeting at the church camp this weekend to start getting ready. We got too many people. We're going to have to turn some people away. But we are planning to do this. We have two teams going. Duluth is going to be one of them. Menominee will be the other. The camp, we had 120 kids last year. We'll do that again, except we're going to do more camps. We're going to do a youth camp with the Aida people, the tribal people, a youth camp in Olongapo. So this is Tagalog speaking. This isn't even our language. And so, can you get on that, Tagalog, right away?
Sure.
Okay, good. And so all this is happening. We probably will have 25 to 30 people touch the ground there in the spring, one form or another. So lots happening, and God is good, and we're looking forward to it. If you haven't been there, I sure would like y'all to come. It will change your life. It really will. Any other questions, or did I miss anything, you think? Thomas.
This may be too heavy of a question, so feel free to not answer. I'm just curious, in your time there, you've been there almost a year. Is there some point in your time there that really sticks out to you, where you really experienced something, really experienced God in some unique way, in a way that maybe you, reflecting upon it, were glad that you were there to experience Him in that spot, in that time? I don't know if that's too vague and heavy of a question, or...
I think for me, just getting ready to come back and making all the contacts that we made, whether it be Street Level or even going out to Southern Bethany or whatever, knowing that we're not doing anything until quite possibly the beginning of November, and having India in the middle of that, but just realizing that God can do anything with people in that time, and just letting Him work in the people's lives that we've met along the way there.
I think too, when I think about that, I think about people and just the interactions we've been able to have with people, and bonds that we've been able to form with people because of our common union in Christ. And like a couple of our core people, like Avea and Irene, are the faces that come to mind. And just since we've been there a while, being able to form those relationships with them, and they've only gotten stronger since we've been there, and just seeing them on a weekly basis. And since we're in the city, we do get to see people pretty regularly, which has been cool. And just to see them challenged in their walk with God, and see how they grow and how God works in their lives too.
I know that it was a big thing for both of you to set down your lives here, to go and do this. You know, and again, probably too big of a question, but I mean, I'm interested in what would possess you to do that kind of thing, and how you feel about that decision at this point.
I've always wanted to do it, and I guess the job that I had, I liked the job I had, I liked the people that I worked with, but... It kind of set itself up for being able to do this sort of thing, because it wasn't a professional career. It was a factory job, and albeit factory, I mean, it was when I walked away. I still keep in contact with people, but it was something, this is what I've kind of wanted to do for quite a while, and the timing was right, too, and looking back, I was actually thinking about it when we came back, realizing just connecting with people again from where I used to work is a little bit interesting, and thinking I could easily pick up right where I left off, but that's not the plan.
Being a full-time missionary was never anything I thought I would do, like, just never considered it. But ever since the first time I heard about going on a mission trip to the Philippines, I've wanted to, and so I think it was a process of God working in my heart since the first short-term mission trip I did, and then the 2 months I was there last summer, just showing me, like, what he's doing there, and just being a part of that. And I remember, like, the night before I was asked if I would want to do this, I was listening to a teaching, and the pastor was talking about how Jesus left the comfort of heaven to come to us. And I got to thinking, like, well, if Jesus left heaven to come to us, I can leave the comfort of my home to go wherever he wants me to go. And then the next day I was asked if I would want to move to the Philippines. And I was like, well, it had been something I had been praying about and thinking about and had considered and had even talked about, but never dreamed it would ever become a reality. And so it's those kind of things I need to think about and remember that, like, God has done in my life and changed in my heart to want to be there. And, like, on those lonely days or the hard days where nothing is going right, absolutely love being there, and I'm thankful to be there.
So what we've learned is when the pastor invites you to coffee, beware, right? Yeah, you should know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want you both to know that we're all very proud of you. We're glad that you're out there. We're happy to be a part of your lives and what you're doing. Those of us that have been there, we understand a little bit more of what it's like. I am not a homebody, and still I know what it's like to feel homesickness in these places. When I take you to India, you'll think Philippines is great. So you've been in those places that you can feel that way, and I know that there are tough times and that there are lonely times, and we've certainly had those discussions via Skype over the past year. But on the other hand, I know you both have talked about how God has blessed you and what an amazing thing it is. And the irony of it is Tom's question, I would have thought you said, yeah, about 2 hours before I got on the plane. You have to understand, about while she was at the airport, we're still going back and forth texting. And I said, I think you should call them and tell them you want that place to meet from now until the Lord returns. No, till the end of the year. And she did. She called and said, yep. And they said they reserved it. And so it was like getting on that plane was like, thank you, God. It was a lot of work, which you can not imagine if you've not been there. It's very, very hard. Guys, it's hot, hot there. This is all you ever get. You can't ever touch tap water. You don't get ice cream. You've been eating a lot of ice cream since you've been home? Cool. And so your diet is very restricted, and everything comes with rice, and even at McDonald's, rice. Yeah, McDonald's rice. And so it's very difficult. They miss all of us and the friendships and the camaraderie that we take for granted. They don't get that. That's why it's important for you to stop and say hello to them on that screen out there on Wednesday nights. It's the crack of dawn. What time is it?
7:30.
Is it? Okay. On Thursday morning, yep. When we're here and we're starting. Certainly, if you'd ever like to write to them, we can forward emails to them, or we could probably give them the shofar address. They can't always personally answer everybody, but I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. And please pray for them. Don't get lazy about that because they've been over there. It's a dangerous country. If you read anything, you know their president rivals the craziness of our president. So I don't know if they're from the same family, but at least our president isn't throwing people out of helicopters that we're aware of, or sanctioning murder, which their president does. It can be dangerous. They're white, they're female, they're Western. If they don't walk around like they own the place, then somebody's going to try to take advantage of that. And so it's very important for them to be tough. I mean, you've had stuff stolen as you rode by on your bike. People pull things out of their bag and run. So it is not friendly along them accounts. They will steal from you every chance they get. So, and not even think it's wrong. So it's a difficult place to be. Please be pray for them. I know we'll all covet them in January when we're freezing here, and you'll laugh when you're nice and warm. I think that's when I need to come over and put those antennas up.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. For a couple of months. So. Anyway, we need to go before it gets too late here. I thank you all for your support. I want you to know that it is your, not your tithe, it is your missions money that keeps these ladies in the mission field. And we will, above and beyond that, be going to India with the hopes of leaving money to construct a new church there. So your missions money gets well spent, well taken care of. Okay? So God is good. And He lets us be part of this. And He doesn't need us. And He doesn't need you guys. And He just loves you enough to let you do this and be a part of this. And if I was your age, I'd give, you know, a hand to be able to do this. So God's good. Let's all stand. We'll close.